Section 254 established what's known as the Universal Service Fund. What the fund does is takes a small contribution from every phone subscriber in the U.S. and uses it to ensure that everybody in America has access to basic telecommunications, as well as schools and libraries are connected to the Internet and a variety of other uses. The Commission voted to take the largest component of the fund. It's about a $4.5 billion piece of the overall fund. That piece is currently dedicated to ensuring that everyone in the U.S. has access to a phone network. And what we did was we transformed that fund so that in addition to phone service, that every provider who receives support from that fund would also be required to provide high-speed Internet access.
This is going to the poorer communities or the rural communities to make sure everybody can essentially get online?
That's right, and it's usually rural is usually where the gaps are. There's about 18 million Americans today who don't have, they can't buy high-speed Internet access, which we refer to as broadband. It's a shorthand. Most of those 18 million people are in rural parts of the country. They're stuck on dial-up when they're surfing the web or trying to listen to your programs online, they would have to do it over dial-up.
And what is the legal authority there? Because if the Universal Service Fund was created by Congress, as you say, back in 96, does the FCC have this ability to do it on its own?
What the FCC has is the right to condition its support. And so the way that we have done that is to say that, yes, you are going to use your support to provide voice, but you should be providing voice over a network that's capable of providing broadband service as well, which frankly is something that most providers are doing anyway. But now what we're doing is making it clear that we want them to use their universal service funds for modern networks. And we were assisted in that. Part of the Section 254 construct is a joint board between federal and state telecom commissioners. And the joint board recommended that we add a new principle to our arsenal here, which is that support, whenever possible, should be used to support modern networks. And so we adopted that principle.
So that's kind of a creature growing out of the information highway conception back during the Clinton administration.
Exactly. This is 15 years later. What has the information superhighway morphed into? Exactly. And I should say it was a bipartisan vote, 4-0 here at the commission. And there have been numerous previous attempts at overhauling this fund. It's a rather complicated system with many stakeholders, many parts of the communications industry. This was a carefully crafted transformation that allowed us to get to a unanimous vote, which we were very excited about.
We are talking with Sharon Gillette, the chief of the Federal Communication Commission's Wireline Competition Bureau. Do you run the risk of this taking a long enough time that the folks who already have access to broadband would then have another technology beyond that, while the folks who are still stuck on dial-up are just getting to the point of broadband? Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, and we thought a lot about that issue. I mean, I think the biggest risk we have is that if we hadn't made this policy change, that there would be the funds wouldn't be going towards solving this problem at all, and so 5 years from now, we'd still be on dial-up for the folks in rural South Carolina. And as you say, that's a huge impact because nowadays it's hard to find a job without being able to get on job sites. It's hard to pay your taxes without doing it online. You know, it's so much easier, and people save money by going online. There's all sorts of things that you're disadvantaged if you can't get high-speed access. And so, this is all about job creation, improving education, improving healthcare, all of those things. As you say, you know, how do we ensure that there won't always be a gap? The way that we did that is by mandating a level of broadband access that has, we think is good for the next 5 years, say, and by ensuring that that level is reasonable to, the statute requires that service be reasonably comparable to service in urban areas. And so we're basically requiring providers to keep up with what, similar services in urban areas.
And I'll bet that your colleagues across the federal government wonder how day-to-day administering this fund works. Could you just give us a look under the hood so that we know what happens with that $4 billion on a day-to-day basis? day-to-day basis?
I'd be happy to. So we have a small staff here that oversees a much larger group of administrators who are in a nonprofit called the Universal Service Administrative Corporation, or USAC, and they handle things like accepting the filings and writing the checks and doing the invoicing on contributions for USF and so on. We oversee the policy here at the FCC. That's a big piece of what the Wireline Competition Bureau does on a day-to-day basis, is overseeing that the policies are being properly carried out.
Anything else we need to know about the new order that was voted unanimously by the FCC?
Sure. There's a couple of other pieces that it accomplishes that are part of the overall picture. The other is, for the first time, the commission has recognized that mobility, meaning mobile service, both voice and broadband, is just as essential to modern life as fixed services, including voice and broadband. And so the order establishes, as part of the Connect America Fund, a mobility piece, which will close gaps in mobile coverage. The private sector's done a pretty good job of getting mobile coverage most places, but there are still all of us have driven over a road and experienced a coverage gap. And so one of the things that the order does is adopt a special budget for closing mobile coverage gaps and making sure that roads are covered.
Is there a new fee associated with the mobile coverage?
No, there's not, because what we have done in this order is to keep the budget the same as it is today and to target the funds to where we think it's most needed, and to wring out inefficiencies and to make sure that we are focusing the funds on areas that are uneconomic to serve, where there's no provider of mobile or no provider of fixed broadband. And not continuing to fund areas where the fund does today, where there may be multiple providers. So we've been able to shift some funds from purposes that we don't think were the original purposes of the fund to purposes that we think are what the fund was intended to do, which is to close gaps in areas where there's nobody serving.
Same amount of money, repurposing it.
Exactly.
Got it.
Fixed budget. A familiar refrain in Washington.
Okay.
And there's one more, if you want to ask.
Oh gosh. It's like Christmas. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Well, this is definitely the policy wonkiest piece of the order, but there is also a system that goes by the name of inter-carrier compensation, but it is a Byzantine and antiquated system of payments between telecom carriers, and what we did was to update it so that we discovered that the way that this system was structured, it was deterring companies from investing in those modern networks using what's known as the Internet Protocol, those modern broadband networks. And so what we have done is to reform that system to take subsidies that used to be hiding in people's bills and instead to make them an explicit part of the Universal Service Fund and remove any deterrence to investing in modern IP networks.